Jesus was teaching, the truth he was teaching, and what he wanted them to understand, and what we need to understand as the people of God today. In the very first part of the chapter, we see that something took place. There was a feast of the tabernacle, and his family, his brethren, his own family, deribed him and trying to get him to go to the feast, because if you remember chapter 6, and we looked at that last time together, how many of the disciples followed him no more, because when he started talking about the blood and the sacrifice of giving our life, then it says that many of them walked with Jesus no longer. They forsook him. They left him. And here they trying to, I guess we'd say, maybe poke fun at him and say, well, you know, if you go to the Feast of the Tabernacle, you'll show yourself, you'll prove yourself, then what you can have is you'll have a following. And of course, we know that his brothers did not come to know him, except James, maybe right before he was crucified, until others after his resurrection. I got thinking about that. Here they had walked with Jesus all these years within that family relationship, and yet they did not understand and recognize that he was the Son of God, he was the Savior, he was the promised Messiah. But you know what? Sometimes those in our family are the hardest ones to convince, are they not? That's true. So our scripture tonight picks up in John, the 7th chapter. If you have your Bible, I'll invite you to turn there with me, starting in verse 37. And then we will stand for the reading of God's Word and remain standing for prayer. In John 7, verse 37, it says, "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying," this was the last concluding days of the Feast of the Tabernacles. The Feast of the Tabernacles was celebrated, and we'll get into some of that as they're reminding them of their journey through the wilderness. And they would pitch booths, or have booths in all in town, usually with three branches on that booth, and they would stay there the whole week. And there's a prescription given of what their each day sacrifice is, but this is the last part of it. And this is what it says. And it says, Jesus said this, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet, this prophesied and spoken of. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him." Let's pray together. Our fathers, we bow before you tonight. We come with grateful hearts. Grateful for the privilege we have to, first of all, to come and assemble ourselves at this place at the appointed time. And come, Lord, tonight to witness and to experience baptism. We thank you, Lord, for this one that's come and surrendered her life to you in submission to following you in the baptism, Lord. And we thank you for that and what it symbolizes, dying to ourselves and being raised to walk in a newness of life in and through Jesus Christ. And Father, tonight, I pray that as we look together in your word, that you will open the ears of our understanding, Lord, that we may hear what you want to say to us. I do not have a message, Lord. It is your message. And I come, Lord, tonight depending totally on you, because in and of myself, I am absolutely, positively nothing. But I ask once again, oh God, take these feeble lips of clay and speak through them the truth of your word, that each and every one of us may be drawn to you, to the fellowship of yourself. And Lord, we just ask that tonight that you would do that which only you can. Lord, even now as we pray, we ask you to bless those that are suffering, those that are hurting, those that are hospitalized, those that are going through recovery. Lord, we have so many that were mentioned tonight in the men's prayer group, and I know the ladies as well. Father, in dire strait because of their physical condition. I pray, oh God, that you would intervene. Help us to realize, Lord, that you are the great physician, not only of time, but also eternity. And Father, I pray tonight that as we look to you, that you will work in their lives and the circumstances of their life. Lord, I pray tonight also that you would just have your redemptive will accomplished. I ask, oh God, that we each and every one would be conformed to the image of your Son, that we may radiate and show him to a lost and dying and sinful world. Oh God, do that which only you can, and we'll be careful now to thank you and to praise you for it, for we ask in Jesus' strong and precious and glorified saving name, amen. Jesus, as he was celebrating the Feast of the Tabernacle, and as this being the last day, usually what happened at the close of that day, in closing out this festive occasion, in the month that they celebrated this, they celebrated three different feasts. And I've done some backup study on this. It is called the month of Ethnanim. And this first feast was the Feast of Trumpet. That was on the first day of the seventh month in Leviticus 23:24. And then on the 10th day was the Day of Atonement, where they made atonement for their sins according to Leviticus 16:29-34. And then on the 15th, this is the Feast of the Tabernacle. It is also called the Ingathering, and also the booths where they stayed in those booths to remind them of their wilderness wandering and how they did not have a place to dwell and they did not have a land to dwell in, and it reminded them of that. But then the significance of the closing event and what took place is the 22nd day of the last day of the Holy Convocation, the priest would, as his custom was, he would circle the altar seven times. And encircling that altar seven times, he would take some water out of a vessel of purification probably, or maybe some other vessel. And what he would do, he would pour that water as he went around, and he would quote and recite Psalm 118:25. Many of us know what verse 24 says in 118. It says, "This is the day the Lord hath made." What is it? "We will rejoice and be glad in it." But as he walked and he chanted this seven times as he walked around the altar, his words were, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." And he would pour that water, signifying, first of all, the water that was given to them while they were in the wilderness, come out of the rock. The rock, as you remember, that Moses spoke to that rock. And because of that, he did not get to go into the promised land because of his disobedience. And I imagine Moses was just like me and Brother Ibe. Maybe he was aggravated with the people. I don't know. Amen? Oh, we won't go there. Anyhow, and the second thing also that signified as the water was the sustenance of life. Because, see, water was a very, very necessary, essential. Water symbolizes, as we know in the Holy Spirit as well, symbolizes the Holy Spirit as well within the Scripture. And it meant in the conclusion of that, that the Holy Spirit would come and it would flood or be a part of the people's life. It was also a washing symbol as the Word of God cleanses, and that's what it symbolized. And as they also recognized that water was the sustenance not only for their life, but also for prosperity, because a crop without water was no good. It would die, wither, dry up, and be nothing. And so as that priest circled that altar seven times, he would recite these words. But before that happened, Jesus stood and he spoke these words. He says, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You remember the story in John the 4th chapter where Jesus dealt with the woman at Sychar, and as she come to draw water in the middle of the day when women did not go to draw water because of her sordid lifestyle, we would call it that. He couldn't say what she was today because you'd hurt offend somebody and you might get sued. But anyhow, the problem is, as she went, she met Jesus. Jesus was there by himself, sent the disciples in to get something to eat. And Jesus, as she come to draw water, Jesus asked water of her. And then he said to her, says, woman, if you knew who it was speaking to you, you would ask of him, and he would give you what kind of water? Living water. The term living water there means an artesian well. An artesian well. Anybody ever seen an artesian well? Well, I remember used to go in that, what was that, Popwellville down there, and it had one side road. I remember stopping and getting water there. Down at, what's that little old place down there on the river? They had one down there. Zirkle had one down there. And I remember when we used to go down to Burnt Fort, there was one there but a bridge. We'd drink that sulfur water, nasty smelling stuff. Let me tell you something. You could drink that stuff and mosquitoes wouldn't bother you. Because you sweated, it sweat that sulfur out, and it'd keep them away. Mosquitoes and gnats. I'd like to have some right now. Anyhow. But he said to her, "You, out of you shall be that artesian well." But here he said, there shall be rivers of water, overabundant supply. And what Jesus was referring to is whenever a person comes to know the reality of him, and I want you to listen to me very close. When a person comes to know the reality of him, out of their very self will flow life-giving advice, life-giving witness, a life-giving testimony of what Jesus has done in their life. And because of that, others, let me tell you something, others will get thirsty because I remember I did. I remember a man on the job named George McInvale installed windows in the buildings. And that man, if a man pointed out Jesus, I mean, he lived the Christian life. His very life exuberated the very person of Jesus in the excitement in which he lived and also his testimony. He never pushed me, but I could see the very perfect person of Jesus, and he would witness for Jesus whenever he could. Because, see, God knew who I needed. And because of that man and because of the church praying for me, I come to know Jesus Christ on June the 19th, 1966. But the thing about it is, when we think about our lives being that open vessel that God can use, and out of us will flow those rivers of living water. As we look at this, we need to understand the priest, as he would go through his custom, Jesus got there before he did, in other words. And what Jesus really said, that he is fulfilling the promise of what this symbolizes, what the priest is going to do, he is now fulfilled that. A person who will respond to him, who will trust him as Lord and Savior of their life, then out of them shall flow rivers of living water, the abundance of that, and it can be a blessing to others because that was what their prayer was. That's the reason he read Psalm 118:25, because they looked to God, because they realized God was the only one that could bring prosperity. He was the one who supplied the things of that time, the water for their crops, the water for them. And the thing about it is, folks, we take for granted so many things the day in which we live. I mean, let's face it. There are places that are hungry for the Word of God, as Sarah talked about last Sunday night. I remember when we went to Nicaragua, the people there, if you give those a Bible, let me tell you something. They cherish that thing. And I mean, when we went, I remember going back on that next Sunday after we went the first Sunday, one little old boy, he says, I have read this much of it. He's about 8 or 9 years old. They are hungry for the Word of God. And when we understand that our lives are to depict, if you please, to exemplify the very living Word of God. Tonight, as we look at this passage, Jesus paid the greatest compliment to his disciples when he said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." But folks, let me tell you something. We need to be salt and light in the day in which we live. Are you with me? I mean, we're living in a wicked, cruel time as far as the spiritual things of God are concerned. I mean, people are so unconcerned with the things of God. But you know what? As we think about that, we need to realize also the water that came out of the rock in the wilderness wanderings as the water that gave life, it spoke prophecy of the coming Messiah that would pour out the Holy Spirit and on God's people. And because of this, this water would satisfy their thirst and produce a fruitful crop flowing out of their lives freely to those who are unsaved. That's what we're supposed to be, folks. I believe with every fiber of my being. And as we think about that, this is what Jesus was saying. As he took that cup, that water, he poured it out. And I'm going to do that in this bowl here. I hope I can. He poured that water out. I don't know where some scholars think Jesus got it out of the purifying vessels there. Yeah, I done it then. That lid, I should have took it off. Jimmy, you said I'd do that. So you jinxed me. Blame Jimmy. Anyhow, we got the water part of it in the thing. While I'm down there, I might as well plug it in. I might already got one of these young boys to go under here and plug this thing in. Pew! What I wanted to demonstrate in this is Jesus said that we're the salt of the earth. He's the water of life. There's no question, there's no doubt whatsoever that Jesus is not the water of life. But for our lives to be effective, to be the light that God wants us to be. See, Jesus is the light of the world. Am I right? He's the light of the world. He said that. But he told us that we also are going to be the lights of the world. And for us to be the light of the world, our very being, our very character ought to depict his nature and his being. And as we think about being the light of the world, watch this thing not work a blow to bug. See, the more salt you add, the brighter it gets. The more salt you are, the more you invest your life in Jesus, the brighter your light shines. So what does that say to us? Jesus being the water of life, by our submitting ourselves to him, becoming him, in him, pouring our lives into him, then and only then can our light shine the way that it's supposed to shine. What Jesus was saying here, he says, if any man thirst, if any man thirst, that's a fulfillment of Isaiah 55:1. If any man thirst, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Can that be said about us? If any man thirst, let him come unto me. Let him come unto Jim Cornelius. Let him come unto Carl. But let him come to Jimmy Brown, whoever. Can we show enough of Jesus by the light that we supposed to be displaying that they can know the reality of him? See, I can't answer that for you. I can only answer that for myself. And I know many times I fall so short because I am not always obedient as I should be. And see, that's what it's all about. It's not about going to do something or I want to do something. It's about obedience. As Brother I.B. pointed out this morning, that you have a choice. And that choice is whether you want to be obedient to God or you don't. That's just what it boils down to. Our life, and I don't know how else to put it, our life is a vessel. I started to talk about that last Sunday night. Is a vessel that God wants to take and literally pour his life into. And if we're the salt that we ought to be, let me tell you something, friend, we'll be the light that we ought to be as well. You know, you've heard the old saying that you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I got news for you. If you give them enough salt, they'll be glad to drink when they get there. Glad to drink when they get there. The compliment that Jesus paid. And salt has, we don't have time to go into all the significance of salt, but we know that has an effect where it brings flavor and savor to life. We also know that hinders or holds back putrefaction. I remember years ago when we killed hogs, we salt it down because if you didn't, it ruined. Salt has that. But salt also is used for other things as well. And Jesus said, if our salt has lost its savor or saltiness, it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Salt was used in the furnaces of that day. Aligned those furnaces with salt. And what they would do, it would hold or retain the heat as they baked the bread. But after a while, that salt would get to the point where it would not retain or hold the heat, and it was literally thrown out in the streets to walk upon. What Jesus is saying there, if our life, when it goes through the fire, if it does not remain pure, then it is good for nothing to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Salt, light, His love. As I look at this passage tonight, and I thought about what Jesus was trying to say there, trying to relate there. The truth, the real truth of who He was. The truth of who He was and the fulfillment of that which they were celebrating. Because see, when Jesus made this statement, they no longer needed to celebrate this feast. They no longer needed to celebrate because it was fulfilled. That's what it was all about. Is a practicing every year, seventh month, 7 days through every the middle of the month. But now it is fulfilled because Jesus has come on the scene and He is the water of life. The water that gives life, sustains life. The water that's a blessing to everyone and everything it comes in contact with. I thought about that song, and I want you to sing it with me. Will you do it? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it. You can't let your light shine, hold it down. You gotta get it up. Get it up. Get it up. This little light of mine, start over. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Not gonna let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Not gonna let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Not gonna let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine for how long? Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Why? Because there are people that are walking and groping in darkness and the sin of this world, and they need to see the person of Jesus Christ. We can look at this bulb very closely. Is the bulb burning? Is the bulb burning? It's hot. Is the bulb burning? We say the bulb's burning. The bulb's not burning. What's burning? The filament on the inside of that bulb is what's burning. And you know what? If Jesus is on the inside of me and you, He's going to show through, folks, regardless. Without Jesus or without the filament, that bulb will not burn. Or if it breaks connection, it will not burn. And that's exactly the way it is so many times in our life as a believer. If we're not careful, we're going to miss out on the unique fellowship and that continued fellowship. And our light's not going to shine like it should. But if we stay connected to Jesus, I'll guarantee you, and our life is the salt that it ought to be, we're going to shine for Jesus irregardless. Amen? The question tonight, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? He said in John 10:10, He says, the thief comes but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. And that's exactly what He's doing. Killing, stealing, and destroying lives of people. But then Jesus did not stop there. He says, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. The term He uses there is not just existence, but it's the fullest expression of life, the fullest utopia of life. Jesus can give that if you'll allow Him in your heart and let Him shine through you. How do you do that? You do it by recognizing that you're a sinner, you cannot save yourself. And you recognize that what Jesus accomplished on the cross where He died and gave His life as a ransom payment for your sin, that was sufficient. That was sufficient to appease God's wrath on your sin. And then you respond to Him by asking Him to come into your life. And you allow Him to be Lord of your life. Let me tell you something. Jesus desires to be Lord of your life where your light can shine for Him in this wicked world. Let's pray together. Father, tonight, we are so grateful to you, so thankful to you for the privilege of knowing the water of life. The water of life that satisfies our spiritual lack and our spiritual need. It's only found in you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, because of that and because of receiving you into our heart and our life, help us, oh God, to be those rivers of living water to show others the Savior. Father, tonight, would you do that which only you can? You know each heart here tonight. You know the very hairs of our head. They're numbered, your word says, and you know the count. And Lord, if you care that much about our physical well-being, help us to recognize as we look to the cross how much you cared for our spiritual well-being, because this old physical is going to pass off the scene. Pass off. But the spiritual man lives either in heaven or in hell. There's no in between. And Father, tonight I would pray that if there's one here that's needs to you as Savior, Lord, that this would be the night they'd say yes to you. They would recognize their need and they would respond to your call in their life and the invitation tonight. There might be that person tonight that realizes that they're not the salt they ought not to be because they have not put their life into your care as the water of life. Oh, Father, tonight, would you do that which only you can do is our prayer in Jesus' name. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. Amen. Hymn of invitation.
Page 410.